We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, Mark Volk is a retired Lieutenant Colonel, U.S. Army, and the president of Lackawanna College. And I'm honored to say he's also my friend, and he's on the phone. How are you, President and Colonel?
I'm doing well, but you demoted me.
Why? What?
I am a retired full colonel.
Oh, you're a full bird. I thought you were a lieutenant colonel. I'm sorry. All right. I'll make sure we get that straight in the future. Now,
man, that would hurt my retirement.
Yeah, I guess so. But you're still president, so, you know, I mean, that's a good title, too.
Exactly right.
Now, Colonel, I've been reading your Facebook post. Tell the audience a little bit about your experience 17 years ago.
Sure. Well, I was working for Headquarters Department of the Army and their basically tactics and operations and strategy branch, and was what they called a division chief. So I had oversight of some major Army programs, and my office was located on the third floor in the second ring in from the outside. So E ring outside, D ring next ring in, and happened to be right in that impact zone. So literally the plane went underneath our office when the attack took place. And so it certainly led to an interesting series of events for us. Having at that point been watching what was going on in the World Trade Center at my desk, and having some discussions, people asking, you know, you think the Pentagon could be a target potentially? And, you know, of course, the answer was yes, but we didn't, you know, nobody really suspected that that would happen.
Wow. So you're watching the towers get hit, and then in the midst of that, you get hit.
Right. Yeah. So we had watched, you know, I had, because we had, we spent a lot of time working strategy and policy for the Army. All of the division chiefs had a television in their office, and so we generally would, you know, I'd have CNN sitting on there. And at the time, I turned it on and watched, the smoke coming out of the first tower, and then I was talking to my wife on the phone, telling her about it when I saw the second plane fly in. And so at that point, we knew that it was certainly. Had suspected before that, but knew at that point that this was an attack. It wasn't just some random accident that had taken place. And so, yeah, we were obviously watching what was going on at that point, trying to figure out. And I had walked out to the front office, out into the E-ring where my boss was, to let them know what I had seen. They were in a meeting. And then had just come back down, sat in my office for a while, watching what was going on when the plane struck.
Now, I can't imagine. I mean, I really literally cannot imagine what the chaos was like at that moment.
You know, it was certainly a shock. You know, we were knocked to the floor. There was, you felt the impact. And, I kind of equate it to if you're standing in a subway station and you feel the train coming in before you see it. That was, pretty much what it felt like in the building. And then immediately we lost power, so it got dark, and then followed immediately by a huge explosion as the fuel that had washed over the buildings ignited and detonated. And, that blew all our windows in, and there were holes in the floor and holes in the walls and flames. But then it was almost immediately. People got up, and, where I was, I yelled for people to start to evacuate. And while there was certainly bedlam, there also seemed to be almost order in the chaos. It was certainly a day where you saw people who you would never would expect to be calm, to be heroes, to step in to help others. It was just an an awe-inspiring experience, I guess.
Well, now, aside from that, when you got a look at the damage and you knew of the people who were killed and injured, I mean, that's got to hit your heart. I mean, these were people that you worked with, knew, and probably, you know, were friends with.
Most definitely. Yeah, I lost friends and colleagues, people that I worked with on a regular basis. You know, nobody was untouched in that building. That, you know, certainly those that worked in our wedge or worked in Army staff, because, you know, we integrated and worked with them on so many cases. My accounting technician that day or during that time was supposed to have gone to a meeting that was in the conference room down on the first floor that took the initial impact. No one survived in that conference room. And Pat was called by the woman who was in charge of the meeting that day and was told, "Pat, don't worry about coming to the meeting. Your stuff is always good. I never worry about you, so don't come." You know, imagine the guilt that she went through, the only one of those individuals that she worked with on a regular basis that survived.
Colonel, were you injured at all?
I was not. No, and actually, we're very fortunate. On our floor, there were very few injuries, mostly concussions and some glass-related cuts and things like that. There were two people that died on the third floor. They were out on the E-ring in the office that was breached by the tail of the plane. That third floor was buckled but originally held, and the ceilings above the third, fourth, and fifth were initially in place. They didn't collapse until later, after the fire had begun to burn and after we had been out there. Several of us were out there clearing offices. And
unbelievable. Colonel, have you been back to the Pentagon since? I mean, that's kind of traumatic itself, but...
Well, I was there. I went back in the next morning. We began our meetings of trying to put together the Army staff again. You know, we had to continue operations, and so some people were immediately at work that day, and some stood up over time. Some of us ended up outside of the building in exterior spaces, but others, they crammed into space down in the basement. So, yeah, I continued to work there until I retired in 2004, well, 1 January 2004. But we were back at work immediately. Interestingly, again, you know, I had several people in my office who worked with us who said that, you know, they could never go back in. Based on the trauma and everything they had seen and experienced. And there was a tremendous amount of counseling that was provided for individuals. Anybody that wanted it could go out anytime. We had counselors that were made available to us on almost a continuous basis during the workday. And to their credit, I think it was about 4 months later when we moved back into new space in the Pentagon, and every one of my staff came in with us. They all overcame those fears and were right there back at work.
Now, Colonel, you know, I specifically asked if you could do this interview at 3:30 because this is the time when a lot of teachers are in the car. This is the time when a lot of the parents have picked up their kids. A lot of young people, you know, are listening to the program. What do you want them to know on this anniversary of the attack on America?
Sure. You know, it's interesting. I go in, and just about every year I'll do a presentation for some classes at the University of Scranton focused around 9/11, and it strikes me how young the students are today in relation to what occurred. And so a lot of students, younger students especially, this is a piece of history. It's not a memory as it's etched into ours. And so I would say, one, you know, remember those individuals who were sacrificed that day, who gave their lives, who were injured, who left behind families and friends, people who, you know, today in some cases struggle with trying to understand why things occurred as they did. And then understand that, you know, that there are still people out there who would do us harm, who look at America as a threat, look at our way of life, and would do anything they could to repeat what they were able to accomplish on 9/11 in 2001, and that we owe it to those individuals who were killed, who were injured, to ensure that that doesn't happen again.
Now, Colonel, I want to ask if you can hold on for just a minute, because there's a couple of other things that I want to talk to you about, including the work that you still do helping military people with PTSD. Can you hang on for just a second?
Most certainly.
All right, hold on. That's Colonel Mark Volk, President, Lackawanna College. Minutes now before 4 o'clock. If you just joined us, we have been talking to Colonel Mark Volk, who is the president of Lackawanna College, retired military, still serving the military, still doing everything he can for our area veterans, and a survivor of the attack on the Pentagon. Now, Colonel Volk, I understand that you are involved in this organization called Equines for Freedom. How and what is that group?
So Equines for Freedom is a not-for-profit organization that provides treatment for, initially we were military members, but we've now branched out into first responders. We will work with family members, but for those individuals who are experiencing symptoms of post-traumatic stress. And we use a form of therapy that is equine assisted, in that there is a horse present, you know, kind of similar to having the experiences with a therapy dog or something, so that having the animal present with many individuals is a reassurance to them and helps them to overcome some of the stressors involved with dealing with the underlying issues of that post-traumatic stress.
Now, I have made a commitment to do everything I can to support that group. We've had some of the people on before, but if there are military or first responders dealing with PTSD, how do they get in touch with Equines for Freedom?
Certainly, the easiest way is to give us a phone call. And I want to emphasize, Frank, that this is certainly done very anonymously. And also, it's free of charge. So there is no charge to whomever we treat. So I think that's one of the great benefits of this organization. But they can reach out to us by phone at 1-800-273-8255 or through our webpage at equinesforfreedom.org.
Okay, last question.
Sure.
I'm part of your team as a, adjunct professor at Lackawanna College. I have seen Vice President Jill Murray. I have seen you change the lives of young people, go out of your way to help people who needed an extra bit of help. You jumped in to help this student who was thrown out of a school because of his sexual preference. Why did you do that, and how's that going to work?
The last thing I ever thought about when I was sitting there at 4 o'clock yesterday morning reading the article about it was that I'd be on the radio talking about it, because it was the farthest from my thoughts, right? Nor in the paper. So, look, when I looked at it, his situation just harkened back to things that we've done for other people before, and it really just ties directly to our mission. You know, our mission of providing a high quality education for anyone who wants to better themselves or better the communities in which they serve. And so we know that there are people out there, many of our students come to us with having challenged backgrounds, with facing stressors in their life, needing this education, needing an opportunity, and sometimes needing a little bit of assistance in order to get there. And so when I read the story, it just, it was just something that we can fix, or we can help this, I think. We're still kind of in that process of working through, but I think we could at least offer a pathway. And it's not anything that we haven't done previously. We've worked with other individuals. There was one individual who, it's very common for military members as they travel around the world to take a lot of courses, work because they get credit for promotions and things like that. And so they'll take these courses, but because they never attain what is normally a residency requirement for many schools, a certain number of credits with them to get a degree, they never get their degree. So, we had one individual locally here who had, I think, about 150 credits, but no associate's degree. Couldn't get a job without the associate's degree. So we went through and looked at how we could align him against the degree path, and it turned out he only needed 3 credits from us. He took the course, and we granted the degree. And then just this past May, a young man who I know pretty well by the name of Mark Volk Jr., who had up to age 41, had worked at a lot of work at a lot of different schools, but didn't have a degree. And it finally became important to him. And so he ended up taking 21 online credits through Lackawanna College. And I handed him, very proudly, his degree at commencement this last year. So it is something that we do. And it's, you know, I think it's an important thing that we do, irrespective of the reason. But I think it's a service that we can provide to the community.
It doesn't surprise me knowing you, knowing what you guys do there. Colonel, thanks for your service. Thanks for talking with us today. God bless you, sir.
It was my honor. Thank you, Frank.
Okay, my pleasure. Amazing.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.